Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
So I'm here today with Amanda Kramer again. Good morning and welcome, Amanda.
Good morning.
We are having a conversation today about the five building blocks of great culture, a successful winning culture, as I recently shared them with our leadership team and with one of our advisors who is building his own practice. And those five building blocks are vision, build, learn, grow, succeed. And we're going to have a conversation about my lunch with one of our advisors and how we unpacked how to use those five building blocks to build a successful life, culture, and business.
Tim, recently, I know that you sat down with one of our advisors for lunch and he had an interesting question. What was that?
Amanda, the question was specific to culture of the organization and his own desire to build his own team and organization as a financial advisor. And he wanted my advice and input on how to go about doing that and how to create a culture that's in alignment with who he is and what's important to him.
It seems pretty timely, given that we were just having this conversation with our senior leadership team last week.
It was very timely because it was the same day as that conversation. And so what I shared with him was the discussion that we had had earlier that morning, which really I think is a good framework for what we've been doing as an organization now for quite some time and what I do believe any organization can focus in on. And I'd start with, as I shared with him at lunch, ultimately the framework has got to be built around people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people make a culture, and the behaviors of people, the attitudes of people, and in essence who they are, their values show up collectively as a culture. And so my first bit of advice to him was focus on the individual first, and getting the right people in the organization is going to have a lot to do with the type of culture you build. And with that, I shared with him that the first step in my mind, there's five steps, is vision. You know, what is the vision of the organization you want to create? And ultimately bringing that down to what is the vision of the people that you have in your organization? So I shared with him a vision I had of our organization 17 years ago when I started, and I won't go into all the details of that right now, but I did share with him the evolution of that vision, and I shared with him the importance of getting the people that were on the team at that point in alignment with that vision to buy into that vision, and even more importantly, to help connect to their vision of what success looks like, and bring the vision of the organization and where I wanted to see us go to their own personal vision of who they are and what they wanted in their life. And so the first step was getting alignment around vision, both at the organizational level all the way down to the people level. That then led to the second step, which is build. And building is about recognizing that the evolution of a vision, the evolution of a culture, is as much as I would like to think otherwise, does not happen overnight. It's a long process. It's typically longer than most type A personalities have patience for. That was part of the advice I was giving them, is don't get discouraged early, because the process of building in some respects is one brick at a time. You know, there's a story that I've heard about a guy that was laying bricks, and somebody came along and said to him, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?"
Oh, I love this story.
You know, what kind of job do you have? You're just piling bricks on. And the guy said, "No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is building this magnificent cathedral, one brick at a time." And the purpose of what he was trying to convey is that I'm not just laying bricks. I'm building a magnificent cathedral. And this person laying the bricks saw this image, this vision of what he was accomplishing that could take years. And he was seeing that one brick at a time. And that was really what I was sharing at lunch, is the building process is one brick at a time. It's one person at a time. It's one step at a time. But once the vision's established, the building process must begin. The third step then, really ultimately, we talked about is learning. And, you know, the amount of information that we can learn is infinite. We will never know all there is to know in the universe. It's not conceivably possible. And the learning, though, in the construct of building a great organization or a great culture, or quite frankly, a great life as a person, is what do we need to be learning to realize our vision, to build one step at a time on that vision? So we got into a discussion specific about him wanting to build his practice. He's got a vision of having 15 advisors on a team and serving a specific community and market of clients. And so what are the things that he's going to need to learn to be a better leader? What are the things he's going to need to learn to know how to build a team? And then ultimately, as he starts to bring those advisors into his practice to build this team, to build this vision out, what are the things they need to learn? And all of that, in this case, has got to be through the lens of who are they trying to serve as their client? Because there's a specific client they want to serve, and he knows specifically what the client's needs are and how that's going to transpire. So step three is learning. And it's a process that never ends, in my opinion. As bad a student I was in high school, I was better in college. I learned early on as an adult that if I wanted to be successful, I was going to need to keep learning. And those first three steps really are, you know, creating that foundation for success. And then really the last two, number four, is grow. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this in one of our previous podcasts, but ultimately, you got to grow, and the vision, the building, the learning all comes together to give you the platform for growth. I think it needs to be intentional. As I shared with him at lunch, I said, look, you know, you've got to have a growth plan. You can't just hope it happens. You can't just decide, we'll see if it happens. You got to be intentional and have a plan. How am I going to build out the vision of this team that I'm trying to create around an intentional plan of growth, which eventually means every person that's a part of that needs to be growing. Mm-hmm. They need to have their own plan of growth. They have to have their own commitment to growth. And then the last piece was success. And, you know, in many respects, the vision needs to start with a picture of, you know, what does success look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and 1 year from now, for that matter. And so success in and of itself, then, in this framework, becomes a process. It's not a destination. It's not like a hoo-hoo, we're here. It's a continual process of determining what success looks like and moving towards success, knowing that as you get closer to it, you really do need, and I shared this with him from my own personal experience, you know, as you get closer to the realization of the vision you set, it's really important in my mind that you ultimately have to create a bigger vision. You have to create a new definition of success. You've got to push the envelope out, because if you don't, the vision falters, the building stops, the learning stops, the growth, you know, retracts, or, you know, gets worse and goes backwards. And now success becomes elusive. So those were the five fundamentals I shared with him in that conversation about how to go about building his own personal success, the success of his practice, and ultimately translating all of that, which in my mind is the most important thing, into how to help his clients succeed.
So Tim, I know when you were having this conversation with the advisor, I tend to find that I get a lot of times people will say that they are a little uncertain at any point in those five building blocks. What advice would you give to an individual who might have a sense of uncertainty at some point in their development process?
Well, I think it's natural. We all have doubts. We have fears. We are not sure at times. And certainly as we record this, there's a lot going on in the world right now that's creating a lot of uncertainty and fear. And it's a great question, Amanda. I would say, you know, specific to this framework, first off, I think having mentors is a critically important component. You know, whatever journey you're on, someone has been on it before you, and someone has lived the experience you've had. And being able to find people that will pour themselves into you and care enough about you to give you some guidance and, quite frankly, give you some reassurance that it will all be okay and help you get clarity. I think is critically important. Some people choose to have a business coach. I've got, that's something that I've employed both mentors and business coaches. And I certainly have had my share of uncertainty in this framework over the years because, you know, the vision, if it's big enough, is going to be scary. And the truth is, it's probably going to be something as you stand there in the moment of time, you have no idea how it's going to happen. And so I guess the real answer to the question probably is the fact of the matter is you are going to have uncertainty. That is a natural part of the process. And in some respects, I'd say embrace it. Don't feel like, you know, it's unique to you and everyone else has it figured out, because I can assure you, I don't think anyone has it figured out. And that uncertainty is a natural part of the process, but don't allow the uncertainty to stop you from pursuing the vision, the first step.
Do you ever find that individuals, when they do encounter uncertainty, whether it is in the building phase or maybe it's in the growing phase, that they almost retreat a little bit? Like, how would you encourage someone to, you know, make that connection, employ a mentor or a business coach? I mean, not everybody is going to naturally gravitate towards seeking help.
That is true. And my response to that is that one must accept that they will not succeed entirely on their own merits. And I believe people that cannot accept that will struggle, and they will face uncertainty, and they likely will quit on whatever vision they have, if they were even able to formulate a vision, let alone get into action around that vision. So I think the first step is humility and a willingness to know that, you know, we all succeed in life because of our willingness to help one another out, and being willing to ask for help, to seek help, I think is a critical component of the journey. I would say ultimately, if one is not capable or able to do that, they're going to be left only to their own devices. And in my experience, most people do retreat. They do quit. They do kill the vision. You know, they don't try and build anything. They basically kind of hunker down in a life of fear, and in some cases, a life of, you know, believing that all of their problems are someone else's responsibility, which is, I don't believe, true. I mean, we all are responsible first and foremost to our own lives. So, yeah, I think if a person can't get past that, I'm not sure I've got much in the way of advice for them, other than get past it and put your ego aside, be humble, and know that, you know, to really truly do great things is going to require the involvement of other people.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're an avid reader, and it's a keen sense that I feel you've developed over time. But even if someone hasn't expressed that they are in a time of uncertainty, or maybe they are struggling a little bit, there always seems to be a book that ends up at that person's desk or at that person's office. Is there any, you know, resource that you continually go back to help an individual who you might assume is in a period of uncertainty as they're trying to grow and build their practice?
Yeah, and that's I mean, the truth is we all are at different times uncertain about things. And the truth is that no matter how far or not so far evolved we have become in our journey, the truth is there's going to be those moments in time. So yeah, I am an avid reader. I listen to a lot of podcasts, which I've been sharing more podcasts lately than books, because I think people are more willing to consume that content than read a book.
It's kind of why we're here today, right?
To a large extent, yes. This is a lot easier than writing a book. But in my relationships, I try and understand where someone is and what they need. And again, are they receptive to it? In some cases, they aren't, but I'll initiate something. But yeah, I will definitely either share a book with them, a podcast, a story, a conversation, to try and help them get clarity. And again, not my responsibility to give them clarity. It's really about asking the right questions. And usually in those cases, the book I pick are things that might spur someone to say, ah, ha, I get it. Or I get, you know, I have clarity now on this. So that's really how I like to use a book or a podcast in that regard, to help someone get unstuck or to gain clarity is not tell them the answer, which is what I used to do. But over time, learned that's not as effective as helping them discover it for themselves.
There's a meme I saw on Facebook recently, and I can't say what it said on this, but it was really entertaining because it was talking about, it was like four different pictures, and it was relationships between a parent and a child. And so it was like a kangaroo with a baby kangaroo in the pouch. And it's like, I'm going to love you and keep you warm and safe. And then it was like a bear, and she's like, I'm going to let you stay in this cave for a certain period of time, and then I'm going to send you out into the world. And then it was a bird. It was basically the mama bird's in the nest, and then the baby bird's like, you can see it flapping its wings like it's in some type of distress, basically, because the parent has pushed the baby bird out into the world, and it says fly something. And it was just interesting because it's how, you know, certain relationships evolve over time, and letting them go to a place where failure is acceptable, because you learn in those moments more often, sometimes better than you learn in the moments and when you have congratulations and success. So that leads me into a question about, you know, when you do have individuals that are coming to you from your experiences and the mentorship that you've established with them, it's really hard to see or to let someone fail, so to speak, right? But there's a time in which that makes sense. So how, through your career and your life, have you gotten to a place where A, you can accept the fact that you're going to have to push somebody out of the nest? And then B, when you're watching them go through that process, what are you continually doing to support them through that?
Oh, wow. All right.
Unpack that.
Yeah. Let's see how I do here. So first off, Amanda, I really do believe and have for quite some time that failure is a much better teacher than success. And this has been an evolutionary process for me, because early in my career as a leader, I wanted to save everybody and I didn't want to see him fail. I wanted to make sure they were going to be okay. And a couple of my mentors helped me realize, quite frankly, how destructive that was in my leadership, to try and, in essence, protect people from experiencing what they, in essence, need to experience in order to grow. You know, you can't learn, well, you can, but I think you learn more, like I said, through failure than you do through success. And so by, as a leader, by setting up a dynamic where people don't have an opportunity to fail, in essence, setting up a dynamic where they don't have an opportunity to learn. And if they don't have an opportunity to learn, kind of stifling their opportunity to grow, which in turn stifles their opportunity to succeed. So fortunately, through some mentoring and coaching, I came to realize that I almost need to set things in motion for people to fail in a safe way, to learn through experiences, and to not jump in when I see them getting ready to make a mistake. Now, of course, if it's a really critical mistake, business-wise, culturally, to their own detriment, I'm not going to allow that to go forth. But there's so many things in the day-to-day that I have now learned people need to learn through experience. And candidly, it's been very hard for me to get to that place. Occasionally, I will still catch myself wanting to, like, you know, grab them and say, don't do that. And it's been a little bit of a challenge, I think, for our team as well, because they were used to me doing that. And as I let people experience some failure and to encounter some things that they then learn, hey, next time I won't do it that way, I will do it this way. I do think that's a much better teacher than me saying, hey, I already know this because I had that experience, and don't do that, do this. By doing that, I obviously deny them the opportunity to learn from themselves, and my experience may not be theirs. So I think it's a fantastic question, and I'm not going to say I've done a great job of it. I've done the best job I can, and I think we have as an organization to help people realize, you know, there are moments in time where they need to fail, and people are resilient. They bounce back from that, especially people that are truly committed to their own success and growth.
So when we think about individuals who are, you know, thinking to start a business, or maybe they're in the first few years of the business, there, you know, can be some rocky times, or definitely is going to be that level of unsuccess at points. So being that you have started a business yourself, you are entrepreneurial minded, what has really shaped your experience in that concept of maybe failing forward?
Many, many more failures than I care to count in the journey.
Are you trying to say it would take more than two hands?
I would say it would take many more than two hands. And in some respects, my memory is probably selectively block some of them out, just capture the lesson and block the pain of the mistake out. But in all candor, truth, the reason that I have been able to do that, and I think most people can successfully do that, is keeping the vision burning bright. You know, if the vision is strong, and it's the purpose of what we are doing and why we were doing it, keeping that bright, keeping that in the forefront, allows the failures to be kept in perspective and brings me back, brings us back, I think brings a person back to center. And that's why that vision piece is so important, back to your earlier question, because there will be uncertainty, there will be failure. And if the failure is such that the person quits on the vision, the whole thing falls apart. And you know, and I've encountered that in my life too, both personally and professionally. And again, I think that's just a natural part of life. That's a natural part of growth. So that failure is, I think, to a certain extent in our society today, people are trying to make it appear in the social media world we live in, where everything looks to be a success and hunky-dory. You know, the truth is, we all know in our hearts that life is but a bunch of failures and mistakes that we learn from and move on from. So I'd say it's a critical part of the journey. May not be a fun thing to discuss, in the sense that people want a linear straight line to success. But I am not the person to give advice on that, as I like to say, because that's not my journey.
There were a lot of detours along the way. A
lot of detours. And I know there will be more.
So, Tim, as we think back on the five elements of building a successful and healthy business and culture inside of that business that we've been talking about today, really as it relates to your experience and the fact that you've started a business, and maybe even you've started a couple of them, I kind of think about, you know, the conversation we're having today, and not that a podcast is a business, but it's another vision that you had that we're now working to build, and we're learning through, and we're growing, and we're going to get to a version of success, and then we're going to come up with a new vision of what success looks like. So when you think about all that you've accomplished so far in starting organizations and businesses and bringing people together, what would you say have been your top three really like aha moments where these five elements have come into play?
I would say, and I don't know that these are in any particular order, Amanda.
Okay.
It's a great question. I would say the first one is a recognition that there really aren't any secrets to success, yet there are principles to success. And inside of those principles, there are fundamentals. And if one can focus on the, and I say simple not to mean easy, but simple from a clarity perspective, simple fundamentals, one will find that to be a great starting point. And what I mean by that is as young entrepreneur, many years ago now, I thought perhaps there might be some shortcuts. And I say that that mindset is very prevalent in our society today. But I said, well, I hear what the principles of success are, but I'm not sure they apply to me. I think I can do it this way. And a stubbornness, which can be helpful to be successful, can also be detrimental when one decides to ignore the basic fundamental principles of whatever you're trying to accomplish. And so I, early in my career, learned the hard way, which is typically the best way for me to learn, unfortunately. I learned the hard way that if I violate the principles of success or the fundamentals that need to be accomplished in my endeavor, in my entrepreneurial endeavor, I will pay the consequence of that, and most likely will struggle more than I need to, and likely not even achieve anything that I'm trying to achieve, because I'm going against the fundamentals and principles of success. So that's my first, you know, don't violate the fundamentals and principles of what it takes to succeed in whatever endeavor you're in. I would say number two is a recognition. And we spoke about this earlier, but I definitely would put it in the top three, is a recognition that you're not going to accomplish whatever you're setting out to accomplish as an entrepreneur on your own. And again, our egos can convince us that, you know, we can do something and do it all on our own, and then try and take success for it all on our own. But the truth is, no one succeeds on their own, in my opinion. And so I would say the second one is just a recognition that your entrepreneurial endeavor, your success in life, is going to come as a result of the quality of the relationships you have. And I would go with the third one then, being that in those relationships, as an entrepreneur, you always need to be focused on creating value for others. And that value is ultimately something they see a value, not what you think is a value. And so I would say the third one is really making sure that you make your entrepreneurial endeavor about providing and creating value for others and helping them achieve what is ultimately their vision of success. And that will really help you. So stick to the fundamentals, stick to the principles, number one. Number two, it's not all about you. It's about, you know, the people that you can enlist in your entrepreneurial endeavor, your vision. And number three is make sure you're creating value for others in the process, and continually creating value for the people you're trying to serve with your business or your entrepreneurial endeavor. I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.